Shabbat Shalom, everyone. So, you know, whenever I come up here after Yehuda davens for the Amud, especially in Kabbalat Shabbat on Friday night, I have to be brought down from the heavens. It's so beautiful. You know, you just feel so spiritual and so connected. I want to thank Yehuda so much for agreeing to spend Shabbat with us and for davening for us tonight and tomorrow and for playing with Moshav at our concert on Saturday night. I also want to welcome my father, who is visiting for Shabbat. And I want to mention, you know, we owe him a lot of gratitude for what he's done for our shul. And in particular, if you look behind me, the Aron Kodesh that we have, he built with his own hands. And it's he put a lot of love into that. And we want to thank him for that and thank him for visiting. And also want to welcome all the alumni who are here visiting from out of town for this special Shabbat for our shul. This is a celebratory weekend. We're celebrating our shul again with Moshav and Motzei Shabbat on Saturday night. We're having a concert, and this is the weekend prior to the concert. It's alumni weekend and festivities. So, if you're davening for us, it's just a wonderful weekend to celebrate our shul. And the truth is that I didn't want to mention this because I thought it might have been contrary to the celebratory nature of the Shabbat. But at the same time, I felt like, you know, everything's from Shemaim, everything's from heaven, and something that must be mentioned, and that is that this week, one of my mentors, perhaps the person who had the most influence on me, of anybody in yeshiva, while I was in yeshiva, my yeshiva years, passed away this week on Monday. The funeral was on Tuesday, and that was Rebbe Tzinchana Weinberg. Rebbe Tzinchana Weinberg passed away on Monday. I went to Baltimore for the funeral on Tuesday. And it seems strange to say such a thing, that a Rebbetzin, it's a Rebbetzin, had the most influence on me in yeshiva, and there's no question about it in my mind. That's really the case. And I'll explain to you why. Number one, because of the influence I got directly from her. Number two is because she allowed me to have access to Rav Yaakov Weinberg, which in my time in yeshiva was very, very difficult, very complicated thing to do. And you notice I quote Rav Yaakov Weinberg all the time, and it's because of Rebbetzin Weinberg's kindness that I'm able to do that. And for example, I went to the funeral, and at the cemetery, I saw Rav Yochanan Zweig, and we talked. As many of you might know, Yochanan Zweig is considered to be in a sense, the chief rabbi of Miami, Florida. He really started what was going on in Miami, Florida, all the Judaism, the Yiddishkeit in Miami, Florida. And he's one of the main students, if not the main student, of Yaakov Weinberg, and spoke at the funeral for Rebbetzin Weinberg as well as Rav Yaakov Weinberg to represent all the students. And I saw him at the cemetery, and since he's Ellen's cousin, so we had one in common, and he had heard from Ellen that I was a student, close student of Yaakov Weinberg. He just looks at me like, first of all, what are you doing here? Like, the group of people who are here are much older than you. He's like, he asked me when I'm born. And he says to me, you know, when I left yeshiva in Kollel, I left Kollel of Neir Yisrael to go, I think, to Miami before you were even born. And before you were born, I left Neir Yisrael, which means he studied Neir Yisrael in a completely different era. When he was in Neir Yisrael, so Rav Yaakov Weinberg was much more accessible. When I was in Neir Yisrael in the 90s, Yaakov Weinberg was really not accessible. I mean, he was in demand around the whole world. Thousands of people were dependent upon him. Indirectly, many, you know, leaders of communities, anyone who knew really what was going on, Rav Yaakov Weinberg was alive, knew that most of the leaders of all the communities in America and around the world even called Rav Yaakov Weinberg for guidance and asked him to come down even to the various cities around the world for guidance. I mean, anyone who was around Rav Yaakov knew when he was in yeshiva, wasn't there too often. He would, fly out to who knows where, to London or where, Seattle or wherever it might be, on a Tuesday, and then he'd come back on a Thursday night and be there for Shabbos and yeshiva. It's very hard to keep track of him. He was in tremendous demand. So to have access to Rav Yaakov Weinberg in the 90s, totally different situation. And the only reason I was able to do that was because of his wife, the Rebbetzin Weinberg, who was also the daughter of Yaakov Yitzchak Halevi Ruderman, very distinguished family she came from. She grew up actually in Slobodka in Lithuania. Very distinguished family, obviously. Her father founded Neir Israel Rabbinical College, Yeshivas Neir Yisrael. And she married Yaakov Weinberg, as I mentioned, and who eventually became the Rosh Hashiva after Rabbi Ruderman of Nei Yisrael. And she was a distinguished person in her own right. So how did I get connected? So basically, I had been close to Beryl Weisbord, her son-in-law. And it was one time when we were together, I was with a Beryl in the Rosh Hashiva's house, and Rebbetzin Weinberg mentioned that she needed something from the grocery store. And this was a plot that I had devised already before in Yeshiva to get close to Rabbanim, because it was very hard to get a relationship with Rabbanim just through learning. And I discovered I had a car. I was fortunate enough to have a car. My father gave me a car in Yeshiva. And my mother already taught me how to shop, so I owe debt of gratitude to my parents. And so I would offer to various Rabbanim, who I became eventually very close with, and I'm still close with many of these Rabbanim to this day because of it. You know, Rabbi Sacher Fran, I mentioned all the time, was one of those individuals, Beryl Weisbord, a few other people. So I had a whole shopping list of five different people I had to juggle every Friday. And Rebbetzin Weinberg eventually became one of those individuals, and it became a ritual. Every Friday morning after davening, I would go to the phone, the extension phone, Yeshiva, dial 614, which was the Rosh Yeshiva's extension line in the Yeshiva phone, and Rebbetzin Weinberg would pick up invariably and would give me a shopping list. And she didn't do it because she really needed me to go shopping for. She did it because she knew what I was doing. She knew I was plotting to get close to Rav Yaakov. And she was very gracious and kind to me because of that. And I had spent many, many, many hours with her as a result. You know, I would literally be her personal assistant and shopper, a grocery shopper. And we used to go together many times on errands, whatever it might be, on Fridays. And eventually that grew to the point where she literally treated me like a grandchild. Whenever the Rosh Hashiva ate in the dining room, you know, there was literally hundreds of Talmidim, hundreds of students in the yeshiva in the dining room for, let's say, Rosh Hashanah. And I would merit to be one of, you know, a couple of students, and usually it's her grandchildren, sitting at the table with the Rosh Hashiva and the Rebbetzin. There was only like three, you know, there'd be five seats at the table, three extra seats. The Rashid, the Rebbetzin, and I was one of the other people at the table because of this relationship. After I got married, so everybody wants to go back to Nei Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah. There's very little room to sleep, so I asked the Rebbetzin if it was okay if I sleep at her house. So basically she has two bedrooms in her basement. She gave one bedroom to her grandchildren, and she gave the other bedroom to Miriam and myself. And this is a relationship that was very, very meaningful to me. And it is with great sadness that I feel this week that she passed away. And just to give over a little bit about Rebbetzin Weinberg, I really believe that the parsha is very deeply connected to the person when they pass, the week they pass away. So one of the incidents that happens in this week's parsha is that Pharaoh tries to negotiate with Moses and Aaron the release of the Jewish people. And he's unsuccessful in negotiating. It's a ridiculous negotiation. Moses is like, everyone's getting out of here. And he's like, well, you don't need everyone to go. He asks them, Miva miha ochim, who's leaving? So Moshe says, what do you mean who's leaving? Ben Arainu uvzakeinu neilech. Bivanenu, Vnosenu, Bitsonenu, blah, blah, blah. He says, everybody's going. So, Vayomer Eliham, Pharaoh says back, no, no, that's not what you want. He says, Lechu nahagvarim, Vivdu es Adonai. Ki osa atem avakshim. This is who you're requesting. You're requesting that the men should leave. Right? You don't want everyone to leave. So, he says, who's the men? So, the Baal Turim explains that the men refer not to all the men, but the men from 20 to 60. So my Rebbe, Rabbi Sacher Fran, used to understand this, that Pharaoh was very wise. You know, he had experience already. So he knew that the Jewish people would not survive without the children and the elders. So he says, you could go with men 20 to 60. But younger than 20, older than 60, I won't let you go. Because I know that the future of the Jewish people depends upon the younger generation and the elders. Because the Jewish people, to survive, need that link in the chain. They need to connect the previous generation to the next generation, the new generation to the old, all the way to Savon. And this is really who Rebbetzin Weinberg was. She's a person who grew up in Slobodka. She has a connection to the old country. Her father, Rabbi Ruderman, was considered to be one of the greatest Torah scholars from Slobodka, you know, to come to America. He was friends with all the great Torah leaders and was probably considered to be in the top five rabbinical leaders of his generation. Tremendous Torah scholar. And obviously founded one of the great yeshivas in America, of Neri Yisrael. And this is her lineage. This is where she comes from. But yes, she was a very vibrant person. She was a person who looked forward, always looked to the future, always was very youthful, always connected to the younger generation. And this is the kindness I felt, like this is part of her philosophy, that why she was so kind to me, because she wanted that connection to continue. Now I'll tell you a personal story that happened between myself and Rebbetzin Weinberg, that if anyone looks at my smicha, you see it's signed Baruch Hashem by Rav Yaakov Weinberg, but you look at the date, and you notice the date seems a little crazy because it was basically a few months before Rav Yaakov Weinberg passed away. And anyone knew the last year of Yaakov Weinberg's life, he was very ill, and he was in a wheelchair, he had cancer, and he, you know, it wasn't a simple situation. So when I got smicha, I wanted to make sure that Rav Yaakov signed my smicha. Well, you know, you don't get a chance like that every day, especially in the health that he was in. So what I did was, after I got the piece of paper, I went to a printer, had it all printed out on parchment paper, you know, a few weeks later. And then I went down to Baltimore, and I basically came to Rebbetzin. I said, Rebbetzin, I wanted to ask if the Rosh Hashiva could sign my smicha. And she looked at me with these eyes, like with a combination of many different emotions. She looked like terrified. She looked, you know, terribly sad. But she also gave this look, a wry look, like she had a depth of understanding. And she sort of gave me this look like, I understand what you want, and I realize how precarious the situation is, and I know we got to get this done. So she grabbed me by the arm, she took me into the house, she pushed away the doctors, she puts down my smichas in front of Rav Yaakov, and she says, Yaakov, I want you to sign these papers. And he did. He signed them, even though he wasn't in greatest health. And to this day, I treasure the fact that my smichas have Rav Yaakov Weinberg's signature on them. And I think it's what she understood. She understood that she wanted to make sure that his legacy lived on in my heart. And to whoever I would teach in the future, you know, that legacy, that connection between the past and the future would live on. And I think that this attribute of Rebbetzin Weinberg really is a major aspect of our synagogue, of our shul, Mikra HaBracha. That Adam Taxon just wrote an article about the shul, so he describes our shul as the new kid, you know, the hot shul in town, young professionals, you know, with the biting sarcasm over there, basically saying that we really do have young professionals in our shul. And our shul is very youthful and vibrant and looks towards the future, but we also connect very strongly to the past. It's not just, you know, let's make Judaism hip and cool. It's that let's understand that our connection to the past does not have to be something old and stodgy. That connection to the past can be something young and vibrant. And I think this is really how Rebbetzin Weinberg, in a sense, lives through our shul, this beautiful attribute of being youthful and yet connecting to the past. And it's something that I think that we have to look at our shul and realize that everyone leaves our shul, the alumni, you know, many people who visit us, realize how special our shul is. And they say, we wish we had a shul like yours where we live. They realize how special. And this is one of the aspects of our shul is very special, that we are able to maintain a youthfulness and yet connect to the past. And I think this is something we have to look at our shul and say, you know, we have to be very proud of this. We have this wonderful shul that is growing by leaps and bounds, Baruch Hashem, thank God, and has this very special trait which is very hard to come by nowadays, you know. That's a lot of people make comments to me. They say they come to our shul and they're very, very, they feel good about the fact that there's a shul that the young people are really seriously involved and they care about their Judaism. And I think this youthfulness of our shul and that's able to connect in a serious way to the traditions of the past without changing the traditions of the past. It's something, like I said, that our community should be held on a pedestal, put on a pedestal, and that we should all be very proud of. And Rebbetzin Weinberg will certainly live, her legacy will live on in many different institutions that she created and she started, but God willing, that legacy could also live through Lekua Bracha as well. Shabbat Shalom.